your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But before we look at today's text, you may be wondering why our liturgical colors are blue instead of purple. A little over a decade ago, there was a push to differentiate between Advent, the season of hope, and Lent, the season of repentance. For a long time, purple, a royal color, was utilized in both seasons. Advent is the season leading up to Christmas and means coming. So in preparation for the coming of Christ, the color blue was chosen for hope as we anticipate Jesus' arrival and await Christ's return. So the next 4 weeks of the Advent season, it will give us an excellent opportunity to turn to God. In this season, we are invited to look forward in hope, not anxiety, to put our faith in Jesus, not ourselves, to believe that God really has come in human form to heal us, to help us, to provide for us, and to save us. This Advent season, we're going to experience the wonder of Christmas. So let's turn to chapter 21 in the Gospel of Luke, verses 25 through 36. Luke 21, 25 through 36. Hear the words of the Lord. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now, when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your hand because redemption is near. Jesus told a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for themselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly, like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. Some of your translations say, to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so glad and privileged to come into your house and worship you. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We acknowledge that you are our great God. And as we wait in this season of Advent, Lord God, open our hearts to receive the wonder of Christmas. We bless your holy name. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. I have to be honest with you. We are working through the Gospel of Luke, the lectionary passage. And today's passage does not sync up to a first Sunday of Advent, Christmas waiting for baby Jesus expectation at all. I'm thinking a passage along the lines of a song that I grew up with, like Silver Bells. Do you all know that song? Which is a staple in my household. I think a passage along those lines would be more appropriate. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Help me out here. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner, you'll hear, I can't hear you, silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. That is my request for our Christmas sing-along on December 15th. I'm just putting it out there. But today's text on this first Sunday of Advent does not create a silver bell-like imagery whatsoever. The text is apocalyptic, an end-time passage. It doesn't bring to mind Advent wreaths, garland, bows, chrismons, and beautifully decorated trees. Today's passage is not a scripture I would envision that would help us to prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of the Christ child. The text describes distress among nations, roaring seas and waves, people fainting with fear. The text says the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and we as followers of Christ are to be on guard, to not be weighted down with drunkenness and the worries of life, to be alert at all times, praying that we have strength to escape all these things that take place. It's a pretty scary text when you think about it. Like the opening to a sci-fi or war movie. I could have changed today's passage, but I didn't. Because in spite of its apocalyptic nature, it is a perfect way to start our season of hope. Hope for justice and a historical reality that surrounds the birth of a Savior. Hope for displaced, marginalized baby born to save. Hope for new beginning. A hope-filled message that tells of a time and a story that is bigger than each of us, yet connects us to our own individual and collective narratives. Hope in the Christ child. Do you remember the Keep Calm photos and images? Do you remember those? Keep calm and enjoy life. Keep calm and be thankful. Don't keep calm, some of them say. Or from last night, Pastor Josh, keep calm and don't bite your nails during the Iron Bowl. But the most recent one I spotted on Pinterest during the busiest shopping season, party hosting, event planning time of the year said, keep calm, Christmas is coming. I felt a little bit of the Christmas anxiety on Friday at the mall. As we were Black Friday shopping, my daughter and I, someone said to me, they were selling in the middle, you know I'm talking about in the middle of the mall, and they said, "Do you like Christian music?" And I had in my mind that I was not going to buy anything. So I said, "No." Kira said, "Mom, you're a pastor." I said, "I am not buying anything. Keep calm. Christmas is coming." See, Keep Calm and Carry On is this 1939 British motivational poster, and it was utilized to help raise the morale of citizens as they prepared for World War II. It was used to instill hope in a people, hope in a nation. Keep calm is often what I tell my friends who have entered into a new dating relationship or find themselves in a precarious situation. So today, in light of our apocalyptic text, keep calm, saints, because there's no better way to lower your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature, and your anxious spirit during this season as you slow down and commune with Christ. Keep calm. Our text message is a reminder that Jesus is ultimately in charge. As we wade through this passage, I want us to focus on verses 34 through 36. Take care that your hearts aren't diluted by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. Beloved, there is a divine connection between how we live and for whom we live. The reality is anything can happen at any moment. Change is not limited by predictability and control. There are all of these realities surrounding us: evil, doubt, hopelessness, anxiety, and pain that have the power to overwhelm us. But the present moment, the hope in the already, the hope in the right now, the hope in Jesus Christ, as we await the birth of the Christ child. See, this hope in the already is that we already know God is love, amen? We already know God so loved the world. We already know we will overcome. The hope and the reality remind us that today is a gift. Today. And hope is a wonder of Christmas. There's a story, and the author is unknown, about a flock of wild ducks who were flying in formation headed south for the winter. One day, Wally, one of the wild ducks, spotted a barnyard with a flock of tame ducks. They lived on the farm. Wally witnessed the ducks eating corn that was given to them, and he liked what he saw. He thought to himself, "Sure, it would be nice to have some of that corn. All this flying is very tiring. I'd like to just waddle around for a little bit." So after thinking it over, Wally left the formation of wild ducks, made a sharp dive to the left, and headed for the barnyard. He landed among the tame ducks and began to waddle around and quack merrily. he also started eating the corn. The formation of the wild ducks continued their journey south, but Wally didn't care. He said to himself, I'll rejoin them when they come back this way in a few months. And sure enough, several months went by, and Wally looked up, spotted the flock of wild ducks in formation heading north. They looked beautiful, and Wally was tired of the barnyard. It's time to leave, said Wally. So he flapped his wings furiously and tried to get airborne, but he had gained so much weight from eating the corn, and he hadn't exercised his wings, he just sat there. Wally said to himself, oh well, I'll just wait until they fly south again. And in a few months, they did. But when the flock overheard and flew overhead, Wally began and tried to lift himself up once again to go with the wild ducks because he was tired of the barn. He simply didn't have the strength. Every winter and every spring, he saw his wild duck friends flying overhead, and they would call out to him. But his attempts to leave were in vain. Eventually, Wally no longer paid attention to the wild ducks flying overhead. He hardly even noticed them. He had, after all, when he least expected it, became a barnyard duck. Verse 34 tells us to take care that our hearts are not dulled by all the things of the world, parties, drunkenness, worries of life, anxiety, and fear. Saints, we are called to be set apart, praying for strength, praying for others, to be an example, to keep calm, and not become like Wally. To stay alert and be on guard. So for a moment, think of the things that are under guard or require guarding. Prisoners, banks, homes. To be on guard, to stand guard, to be alert, to take care of our hearts, to guard our hearts is a form of protection. But what are we guarding our hearts with? Hope. See, hope in the Christ child, hope in the coming of Christ, guards our hearts. So the worries of this life do not break through our defenses. Hope is bathed in prayer so that we keep calm in the busiest time of the year and commune with God. Hope is crying out for the marginalized, the homeless, the impoverished, the have-nots. Hope is acknowledging that amid this wonderful yet confusing passage that Jesus taught his disciples about the end time events before they took place, so that there was no justifiable reason to give into despair. Hope. Hope is found in this text from Luke's point of view, and one in which I believe that followers of Jesus are not to become discouraged. Even when we see and experience disturbing events that might otherwise traumatize us, leading us to believe that God has abandoned us. Keep calm, saints. Hope is here and now. You sing songs about hope. The word hope, depending on the translation, appears more than 150 times in the scriptures. And it is one of the most important virtues of our community, along with faith and love. Maybe this text comes at the start of Advent because hope has the power and the capability to resist cynicism and negativity. Hope is the divine power that keeps us alive in this world. Hope chases away the demons of dulling our hearts and falling into sin. Hope showers us with the good news, not only that today is a gift from God, but that hope is an assurance that while heaven and earth may pass away, the word of God stays firm. Redemption is drawing near. The Christ child is coming. So, beautiful people of God, stay alert. Stay on guard. Keep calm and hope. We wait and we begin anew, not just with the liturgical calendar, but in our individual hearts, in our relationships, in our community of faith, in our homes, in our world, yearning and waiting to experience the wonder of Christmas. It is in Christ that we receive our hope. It is Christ who is the hope and a promise worth living for. Hope is filled with a life of faithful, active waiting as we draw near to the one who is coming, as we draw near to the Son of Man. Keep calm. Keep calm. Wait and hope. I want you to hear in this moment, as the band begins to make their way up, hear our Advent hope for this season. The Lord is holy and awesome and full of power. He sent his Son to earth to redeem mankind. Jesus came and lived among us, dying that we might live. He returned to heaven, promising to return again one day. He will come in righteousness and holiness, bringing peace to all mankind. And the Spirit of God lives with us now, moving and breathing life into our souls. We wait expectantly for our King, our ruler, our Savior. He is coming. This we believe. So, beautiful people of God, the first wonder of Christmas is to keep calm and hope. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.